Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the International Committee of the Red Cross has confirmed this afternoon that three of its staff were killed today after shelling hit a frontline aid distribution in the Donetsk region. Ukrainian President Zelensky accused Russia of being behind the attack, but the Red Cross have not yet said who they think is responsible for the deaths. Meanwhile, in Gaza, UNRWA said that six of its staff were killed in an Israeli airstrike overnight, among them a manager of the UNRWA shelter. 18 people were killed in total in this attack. Well, for reaction to these two attacks on humanitarian relief groups, we're joined now from Gaza by UNRWA spokesman Sam Rose and the head of the Irish Red Cross, Deirdre Garvey, and you're both very welcome to the programme. Sam, I'll come to yourself first, and you might just tell us firstly where you are in Gaza at the moment and how far you are you from the site of this latest attack?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm in Zawada, which is about two or three kilometres away from the school that was hit at about 4:50 local time yesterday.
So in terms of what happened yesterday, the school that was hit, home to about 12,000 displaced people, I understand.
That's right. The 12,000 displaced people, mainly women and children, amongst hundreds of thousands of Palestinians that have been seeking shelter in dozens upon dozens of UNRWA schools over the past 11 months. The families in the school will have been displaced many times. Many of them will have come there after being ordered to leave their homes by the Israeli authorities and told that the place that they were in was not safe and they should seek refuge elsewhere. They chose refuge in a UN premise that's protected under international law, and yesterday the protection that premise should have afforded them was not available, and sadly reported 18 people died, amongst them six UNRWA staff, who are, you know, that brings the total to 220 of our colleagues that have been killed since the start of the war in October last year. So a very, very dark day, sadly.
This is the highest death toll among your staff in a single incident.
It is a single incident in this conflict, but as I say, 220 that we know of killed to date. And of course, on exactly the same day that three ICRC colleagues have also been killed in Ukraine. I want to pass my condolences on to them and their families. For any organization, this is heart-wrenching. For organizations dealing with this type of work that we're doing in Gaza, it's catastrophic. It's been a day of grief, a sadness, a day of horror, a day of shock. And our staff, who are working day in, day out, around the clock in these shelters to support their own people, they just don't feel safe coming to work anymore. There's no more protection, sadly, that we're able to give them.
So where does that leave UNRWA staff then, you know, trying to do a job in the most difficult of circumstances? And as you say, they're not guaranteed safety in any instance by the looks of what has happened.
They're not, but look, they continue to work today. I mean, the first thing that happened was we did security checks on the school, checked for unexploded bombs. It turns out that there was one, but after that, you know, our counselors came in to provide mental health support to the families who were traumatized. Our social workers came in and supported with mourning ceremonies and provided triage to cases that need intensive care. They're patching up the shelter and cordoning off the most dangerous parts of it until proper repairs and assessments can be done. And we provided assistance, meals and water to the families, so that our staff continue to go out there day in, day out, putting themselves at extreme risk. But as you say, it is becoming increasingly difficult, certainly this week, where it's been particularly difficult week and a particularly difficult few weeks for UN agencies and the humanitarian community operating inside Gaza. And this school only last week was a school from which we were providing polio vaccinations. So a place that we were inviting people to come to save their lives has as of yesterday turned into yet another graveyard.
The Israeli military have said that its air force had conducted what it called a precise strike on terrorists who were operating inside a Hamas command and control centre that was on the school's grounds. I wonder, what is your reaction to that?
I mean, look, I'm not a military comment on the military element of it, but in an attack in which 18 people die and scores more injured in an environment that is extremely overcrowded, housing very, very vulnerable people. There are rules of war, and those rules of war need to be adhered to by all parties to the conflict. This includes the Israeli authorities. It includes Palestinian armed groups, including civilian facilities should be protected. They should be used for military or fighting purposes. We continue to insist upon that and will continue to do so until the day that the war comes to an end.
This is the fifth time since the start of the war in Gaza that that particular school has been hit. What happens now, Sam, to the 12,000 people, displaced people who were in and around the shelter? Do they just have to stay there and hope for the best, or do they have to move again?
They have nowhere else to go. I mean, some will be too scared and will seek refuge elsewhere for but many will stay, and those who leave, there's no guarantee that they're anywhere. So essentially people have no choice. The part of the Gaza Strip that people are being hemmed into increasingly is increasingly overcrowded, increasingly squalid. So people choose to stay there because they have nowhere else to go, sadly. And so that's what we anticipate, that the vast majority of them will stay there.
Sam Rose, thank you very much for joining us from Gaza this afternoon. I'll turn now to Deirdre Garvey, who is Secretary General of the Irish Red Cross, in relation to the deaths of these Red Cross staff members in Donetsk. And Deirdre, you're welcome to the programme. What do we know at this point about the deaths of the Red Cross staff members?
Well, thank you very much. And very much like Sam, we do extend our deepest sympathies to the families, friends and colleagues at the ICRC in Ukraine, and indeed the 18 people, including six UNRWA colleagues that died overnight. Humanitarian workers are simply not a target, and there are rules of war. And in relation to your question, the details of the precise situation are still emerging. What we do know is that the ICRC colleagues were on duty performing their humanitarian work, and the rules of war, these Geneva Conventions, of which we mark the 75th anniversary this year, they are really clear that the Red Cross, Red Crescent symbol is do not touch, do not shoot. This is what humanitarian law is all about, and it is a situation that we must exhort our leaders to insist upon the upholding of international humanitarian law in these kinds of situations.
And as we heard from Sam there, and as you've acknowledged, there has been a dramatic rise in the deaths of humanitarian workers worldwide, particularly we've seen it in Gaza, but elsewhere also. What are the long-term consequences, if that is allowed to continue?
Yeah, I mean, armed conflicts are becoming more protracted, more urbanised and complex. And therefore, in these years when that is happening, and we have 120 such conflicts on our records in the Red Cross, Red Crescent around the globe, in 2023 was the deadliest year for aid workers, where 280 were killed in 33 countries. And we are already on track this year to be even worse, with most in Ukraine and Gaza. So the consequences of this is that aid delivery is disrupted. The humanitarian crisis is exacerbated, and it leads to increased suffering and mortality. And as we are hearing from these stories, the risks associated with humanitarian work can deter aid workers from entering the field. So it has long-term consequences, as well as the death, destruction that happens on a day-by-day basis when these things happen.
And do you think the fact that those deaths, there has been such a dramatic rise in the deaths of aid workers, and the fact that really nothing has happened apart from condemnation, words have happened, that those involved in the deaths or responsible for those deaths are emboldened?
Well, attacks on healthcare workers and patients are occurring at alarming rates, right? And what we must do as humanitarians is call for all parties in a conflict to uphold international law and respect the emblems, right? And we urge world leaders to stop the attacks on humanitarian workers. As we just heard, in the situation in Gaza, there was a polio vaccination program being rolled out through a pause in the hostilities. And there are equally life-saving humanitarian acts happening in many different conflict zones, including what happened today in Ukraine. So it is vital that our leaders and that, I guess, the United Nations and the Red Cross and the WHO, that we work together and consistently to exhort the upholding of international humanitarian law. And in that regard, we're holding an international conference here online and in person in the Royal College of Physicians, the Royal Irish Academy, sorry, around marking the 75th anniversary of the Geneva Conventions, where it's not one to celebrate, to be honest, but it is a time that we can all reaffirm our collective commitment to these rules of war. Because let's remember, it was the grim reality and the horrors of what humanity saw was done in the Second World War that created the reason for these rules of war. They are the only rules that we all share. We must strive to keep them alive where we can and to not relax them.
Have we forgotten those lessons, do you think?
Well, the lessons are, I guess, written in stone in these Geneva Conventions that all of the countries in the world have signed. And it is up to the rest of us who are not in conflict zones to work with those who are in conflict zones to really not let these lessons be forgotten, because it is too important. It is phenomenal that the world came together. And it is only because of the horrors that we saw that we were capable of inflicting upon each other, that we were able to speak with one voice back then and create these rules of war. I apologise for my voice. I have a bit of a dose.
You're quite okay. And the point that you make is very well made and well heard. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That is Deirdre Garvey, Secretary General of the Irish Red Cross.